Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, I've got something to share with you this morning. This is not my normal preach. I'm more of a preacher than a teacher. But I just really sense that today I want to share a bit more teaching. Is that okay? And there's a lot of scriptures, so you need to bear with me. But let's see what the Holy Spirit has to say. Because today is Pentecost Sunday, so we want to really focus in on the Holy Spirit and what it's all about. Pentecost Sunday is actually all about. And some of you might be asking, well, what is that? What is Pentecost Sunday? What is that all about? And so we're going to be sharing a bit more about that, because Pentecost Sunday is a day that commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the other disciples when they were in the upper room after Jesus had ascended to heaven. They're meeting together in the upper room, and it marks the beginning of the Christian church's mission in the earth. This is where it actually started, when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came. You know, I always think it's a great thing to remember and celebrate, just like we do Christmas. You know, with Christmas, we don't just celebrate the day, but what we do is we celebrate the Christ of Christmas. Because Christmas without Christ is missing something, right? And it's the same with the day of Pentecost. We don't just celebrate as Pentecostals the day of Pentecost, but we celebrate the person who came on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, coming into our midst. You know, without the Holy Spirit, I've learned, we can do nothing. You found that? Without the Holy Spirit, we can grind away, and that's literally what it is. It's the Holy Spirit that puts the oil into our lives and causes us to flow in the things of God. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us and helps us to do the work of God. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity. The Bible teaches us that the Godhead consists of three persons: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each one fully God, each one deserving and carrying the divine nature, each one to be worshipped. And because they function as one, they are one. You know, on the occasion of Jesus' baptism, the three persons of the Trinity were there and very present. We read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. You see, we see there the Father spoke from heaven. Jesus was fulfilling all righteousness, and the Holy Spirit came and descended like a dove. All three there together. So the Holy Spirit is God, a divine person. Sometimes, you know, we can think of the Holy Spirit as a presence or an atmosphere. I've heard so many people at different times say, can you feel it? And there's something in my spirit that gets grieved, because the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. Divine person, carrying the divine attributes of our Father in heaven. He's a real person that comes and dwells with us. He's to be worshipped. You know, as a person, he can be grieved. As a person, he can bring comfort. As a person, he can guide and direct. As a person, he can be rejected or accepted. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and is worshipped and glorified together with the Father and with the Son. Everyone cool with that? We can, you know, I love the fact that he is so personal, that he comes and he shares and he speaks in our spirit with us as a person. You know, the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work can be seen continuously through the pages of the Bible. It starts in Genesis chapter 1, where the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. And we see him empowering the patriarchs. We see him working through the prophets. We see him with David and with Elijah. We see him working through King David. We see him constantly at work with Moses. And then even in the conception of Jesus. And then in the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Right down to today, we see the work and the evidence of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's by the precious blood of Jesus, isn't it? The sacrifice of Jesus, his death, that we can come to God in repentance. That simply means we say sorry and we genuinely are remorseful for the wrongdoing in our life. And part of repentance is turning to a whole new thing. And that whole new thing is where we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the scripture says that before salvation, in John, it talks about being born again. Because inside us, our spirit has died. Wrongdoing causes our spirit to die. But the Bible says when we're born again, our spirit comes alive. It comes alive to God and the presence of God. It comes alive to the reality of God. It comes alive to the voice of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to our spirit that connects us with the voice of the Father. The Holy Spirit coming and dwelling and speaking, bringing life to our spirit. And that's what it means to be born again and to come into relationship with the Father. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" That's what happens when we discover the reality of Jesus. When we give our life to him, our life becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh." So many of us, you know, we struggle in the realm of the flesh, but it's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, is draw us into the life of the Spirit so that we don't struggle there. It says, "You, however, not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So Jesus prayed for the Holy Spirit to come when he ascended into heaven. So what is the mission of the Holy Spirit? Well, I want to break it down into two parts this morning if I can. The first part that I want to talk about is, I guess, the part that oftentimes we're more familiar with. You see, in John 14, Jesus said that he would send the Comforter, or the Paraclete, the one who would stand alongside us and be with us and bring comfort. And Jesus said that it was necessary for him to go in order for the Holy Spirit or the Comforter to come and be personal with us. So what does the Holy Spirit do? If Jesus said it's so important that he goes in order for the Holy Spirit to come, what does he do? Well, there are so many things, and we don't have time to go into detail, but let me skim over some things that the Holy Spirit does this morning. Is that okay? In this first part. Number one, the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I'm so thankful that he does that in my life, because boy, there are times I need it. I need him to come and bring that conviction, right? Because we can just so easily drift along without the reality and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know, the second thing is that I think it's a really sad thing that so much of church history and the way that the world perceives oftentimes the church is being so judgmental. Do you know it's never our job to judge? It's never our job. It says it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict and convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. What we have to do is be Jesus. We need to be the bridge, not be the ones condemning or convicting people. You know, if you're struggling with someone in your family, don't convict them. Don't be on their back. Trust the Holy Spirit to do what you can't do, to talk to them and reach them in a way that you can't reach them. Allow the grace of God by the Holy Spirit to connect with them and say what you can't say. Do what you can't do. You just be the love and the grace that they see the reality of Jesus. The second thing that I love is that the Holy Spirit brings change to our lives. How many need changing? Boy, you can bust your chups. I was going to say boogoo, and somebody said to me the other day, what is a boogoo? And I've got no idea what a boogoo is. It was just a saying that happened when we grew up. You can bust your boogoo. I don't know what a boogoo is. Yeah, we'll leave it there. So you can bust your chups. You know, trying to change. But the reality is, you know, I've found you can work so hard to change, but there's only one who can change the human heart. And that's not me and that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It says here in Titus 3, verse 5 and 6, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth or salvation and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know the word renewal? It comes from a word that I don't know if I can pronounce, but anakenosis. And the ana part of it means again. The kenosis means to be new. So you combine its new again. And so what the word suggests, the origin of the word, it suggests renovation, restoration, transformation, a change of heart and life. And friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we allow room for the Holy Spirit to come, He changes what we can't change. He transforms what we can't transform. He renews what we can't renew. Thank God for that. I'd be in so much trouble if it wasn't for that. You know, I know when I received the Holy Spirit, I went from being a violent, aggressive, horrible person. I'm not like that anymore. It's because of Him. It's because of Him. He changes us and renews us. Romans 8 verse 11 says, And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Third thing, the Holy Spirit helps us with prayer. You ever struggle with prayer? Ever struggle with knowing what to pray and how to pray? Sometimes it's tricky, isn't it? Just to know, well, what do I pray? How do I pray? Sometimes it's just hard to pray. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that can help us to pray. He knows what to pray about. He sees what I can't see. He knows tomorrow that I have no idea about. He can anoint us to pray so that we're praying the heart of God, the mind of God, praying the very presence of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, it says, And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. The Holy Spirit teaches us and leads us into all truth. You ever been confused? No? Okay, me. He leads us into all truth. Wow, there is so much conjecture. When truth these days is absolute, is not absolute. Truth these days could be whatever you believe it to be. That's what our society says. But friends, there's only one truth. There's only one truth. And it's not ambiguous. It's not gray. It's what God says. And the Holy Spirit can lead us and guide us into all truth and to help us understand God's word. Boy, sometimes you read this and think, what the flop is that about? You ever felt that? What? But when we get with the Holy Spirit, He brings so much revelation. He brings so much light. And it gets into our hearts, the truth of God's word. That's why the Bible says, you know, before we become a Christian, our spirit is dead. And so we read this thing, or people read the Bible and go, I don't understand it. I've got not a clue what it's saying. Because we need the revelation of the Holy Spirit to speak and bring light to the word. John 16, verse 12 through 15, it says, I have much more to say to you. This is Jesus, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. That's a job of the Holy Spirit, to help us with these things. The Holy Spirit is also our comforter. You know, I just sensed while I was praying this morning, there's somebody here who needs comfort. You know, and I think it's come through the whole praise and worship. Somebody is struggling. Friends, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is the paraclete. He is the one who stands alongside. He's the one who will wrap His arms around you. He's the one who will whisper in your ear. He's the one who will bring peace to your life and assurance, because He is the comforter. And I really encourage you, if that's you this morning, lean in. He's not finished with you yet. He has not finished with you yet. John 14 and verse 25 says, but the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, the helper, the intercessor, the comforter, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He'll give you hope when you don't have it. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us with our worship. You ever struggled worshiping? Because the Bible says we have to worship in spirit and in truth. If we're not worshiping in spirit and in truth, it's just words. Hey, I've stood many times and just sung words. But they don't do you much good, do they? It's when we worship in spirit and in truth. Say, Holy Spirit, will you help me? You know, sometimes we come in a bit ragged. You ever come into church ragged? Like the week, and you're just hanging out to survive. Oh, to be able to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit just come and allow worship to come and wash and refresh and help us to see Him again. He gives us a perspective. He opens our heart so that when we gaze on Him, He fills us. He fills us. And we can truly worship far more than just words. Oh boy, there's so much here. Is it? Yay, yay. You know, the Holy Spirit brings gifts and fruit to our lives. I haven't got time to talk about that, but you can read in Corinthians 14, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can read in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need the gifts, but you know, when you look at the fruit, which it says is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, boy, we can all do with a bit of that, right? And that's the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. Some of us think, yeah, I'm doing okay. No, you're not. You need the Holy Spirit. When we know the Holy Spirit and we make room for the Holy Spirit, you know, the fruit becomes natural in our lives. Not forced, but natural. Quickly, the second part, the second mission of the Holy Spirit, and this has really got to do more with the way and the significance of the day of Pentecost. And In Acts 2 and verse 1 to 4, we read, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wouldn't you like to see that? I had a friend who was preaching in Pakistan, and they were hidden away in this building, and they were all pastors and leaders from the underground church. And as my friend was preaching, exactly that happened. The place began to shake, and literally tongues of fire fell. One half of the room was completely on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. The other half were sitting looking at them with these tongues of fire on their head. So much so that people that surrounded that building in that district came because they thought the building was on fire. There was this massive tongue of fire above the building. And so all these Islamic people from Pakistan came to the building, walked into the building and found Jesus. How's that? Oh, come on. We need to see more of that, right? Yeah. This is when the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit. That word baptized means to be immersed. So the disciples were immersed and filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, as disciples, they had the Holy Spirit already. Now, we need to be really clear about this. A lot of people get confused of the distinction and think of Pentecostals as thinking themselves better. We're a Pentecostal church. But the Bible tells us very clearly that the disciples already had the Holy Spirit. This was a separate experience where they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, this thing didn't just come out of the blue. This was the fulfillment of a promise that was made way back in the Old Testament. You see, in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, that's Jesus, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they already had the Holy Spirit, and so Jesus said, wait for the promise. Well, what was the promise? The promise that Jesus was referring to is found in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29, where it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Had any dreams lately? I dream all the time. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days. And so that promise was actually fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, because Peter, when he gets up and the people all gone, you've all gone crazy, Peter actually says to them, no, this is the fulfillment of the promise spoken about by Joel coming true that Jesus said to wait for because it was coming. So it was the promise that was declared. And Peter said that in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. We don't have time to read it. So that promise was fulfilled when Jesus was glorified. Oh boy, I'm going to need to jump over some of this. Yeah, Jesus said, you receive the gift. And then Peter promised that, you know, you and your children will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And some people say, well, it's not for today. But the prophet Joel said it's for you and the generations to come. Jesus said you will receive this in the last days and the generations in time to come. So we know that it is for today. And boy, if you've experienced the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, you know that it's for today, because it helps us in what we do. So to be clear, when we give our lives to Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus assured the disciples in John 13 and verse 10 that they were clean. How did they get clean? Because they repented and they received the Spirit that bore witness with their spirit. that they were made clean. And then Jesus also in John 20 and verse 22, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is before he ascended. So we know that the disciples had the Holy Spirit. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate experience. We have the Holy Spirit as a Christian. Otherwise, we read, we're none of Jesus. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an infilling. It's an immersion. It's a fullness. It's a Jesus coming and bringing his Spirit. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? Well, very simply, it's to impart power for Christ's service, to bring power. If your life is lacking power, maybe we need to get before the Father and say, "I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need to open my life more to the reality of the Holy Spirit." You see, Jesus in Luke 24 said, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And they waited and prayed in the upper room. In Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit in salvation imparts life. The Holy Spirit baptism imparts power. Friends, we need power. We live in a world that is so skeptical. We live in a world that says, "You show me and I'll believe." Is that true? Come on, let's show them Jesus. Let's show them the reality of Jesus. You know, when I travel so much in when I can, when it's not COVID, we see some of the most incredible miracles. We see people getting out of wheelchairs. We see people... I was saying to somebody the other day, we were in Bangladesh praying, and I preached in this church for this bishop. This bishop, he, an amazing man, older man, and first time we went there, he didn't tell us a whole lot. He was quite quiet because Bangladesh is an Islamic country and it can be quite dangerous if, you know, you... Yeah, anyway. The second time we went there, he started to open up. His church of 300 people approximately has planted 3,200 churches in Islamic Bangladesh. Some of those churches have more than 2,000 converts in the underground church. And so he said to me, "Will you preach on Sunday morning?" So I preached, and he came to me, and in front of all the people, he said, "I've never heard preaching like this before." He said, "What is it?" I said, "It's the Holy Spirit." He said, "Would you pray for me?" We prayed for this man, and honestly, this bishop is crawling on the floor under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, "So, this Holy Spirit, can we pray for the sick?" I said, "Sure we can." And so he just started calling these people forward. And he said, "You pray." And I said, "No, you're praying with me. Don't you go anywhere." And so this lady came, and she had this withered arm. It was all clawed. There was no muscle. It was just bone and skin. And it was withered and it was small and it was clawed like that in front of her face. Wouldn't move. It was just locked like that. We prayed for her and I watched her arm just go whoosh, like that. Flesh, muscles, everything fully formed. She's standing there staring at her arm. Her hand, which was all clawed, is now like he's standing there. You know what he said? "Will you come back next year? I'm going to get 350 of the top leaders in Bangladesh, and will you teach us about the Holy Spirit?" Because see, when people see the work of the Holy Spirit, when they see, that's what Jesus did. Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead. Didn't he do that? He said, "We're going to do greater works than he does when he goes." That's our mandate. That's how the kingdom comes. Friend, there's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no distress in heaven. When his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, we manifest the power of God and the goodness of God. And it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does it. We can't do it. God help us from the fake and the phony. Let's just see the reality of the Holy Spirit expressing the love of God and the power of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God, reaching people right where they are. Amen? And the Holy Spirit knows how to do that. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit. We're Pentecostal for a reason, because we've been given a mission, and the mission of the church is to see the kingdom come. with all of God's goodness and all of his magnificence. I've got to pass over all of this. I sure do. You know, let me finish with this. I look at Peter, the Apostle Peter. We see a man, a fisherman, who encounters Jesus. When Jesus says, follow me, he goes, oh, hang on, you don't know who you got. You don't know who I am. And Jesus says, yeah, I do. You just follow me. And Peter leaves everything and follows him going, I think you got the wrong dude. I really think you got the wrong person. And then the 3 years that Jesus disciples and we see Peter changing, we see Peter growing, we see his character and his nature changing until it comes just before the death of Jesus. And what does Peter do? Bold, brash Peter. I don't know him. Who he? Never seen him. I don't know who he is. Barley's. Don't know him. Yeah. It's the same Peter that Jesus comes to. You know, I love the fact when the ladies go to the tomb and Jesus talks to them. He says, go and tell the disciples and Peter. In other words, you tell him it's not all over. You know, yeah, I knew he was going to deny me. But you tell him it's not all over. And then Jesus comes to the disciples and he tells them to go to Galilee. Remember that? And wait till he comes. So Peter gets there. He's seen the risen Christ. He gets there and Jesus is a bit slow turning up. You notice that? God is never late, but gee, misses some good opportunity to be early. Peter gets there and nothing's happening. So what does he do? He says, oh, boys, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I understand. Remember, Jesus comes on the beach. The first time he encountered Jesus was when in Luke 5, when Jesus said, throw your net on the other side, and he caught so many fish, and he goes, oh, 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 who are you? Exactly the same thing happens in John 21, where Jesus says to Peter, hey, and Peter doesn't know it's Jesus, but he said, cast your net on the other side. And so the net's full and the bells go off in Peter's thing and he's going, that's Jesus. And Jesus kind of restores him and says, go and feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He says to him, but Peter, you need to wait in Jerusalem, in the upper room, until you're endued with power. Because, yes, the work of the Holy Spirit was transforming Peter. But Jesus knew that the Peter that was to be in the book of Acts had to be a different man. He needed an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And so straight after Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell and they were speaking in tongues, straight after that, Peter goes out. And now the Peter that didn't want to know Jesus is the one preaching to the crowd and sees 3,000 people come to Jesus. And then another two chapters, he gets arrested. He's thrown in prison. And what is his prayer? God, help us to be more bold to preach the gospel. And he says to the leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that said, you have to keep quiet. You cannot say anything. You cannot declare the name of Jesus. Peter stands up in front of them all and says, hey, woe is me if I don't declare Jesus. I'm praying. And he goes back to the disciples and says, come on, let's pray for greater boldness. And at the end of Acts chapter 4, it says, as they were praying again, the room shook and they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes out and there's another 8,000 added to the church. Friends, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and do what only he can do, working in us and through us, changing us, helping us, bringing revelation to us, doing what we can't do. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do and represent him out there for the sake of the gospel. Amen. My time is well and truly gone. Musicians, can you come? Friends, can I encourage you? I don't know what your relationship with the Holy Spirit's like. You know, sometimes we find it very easy to worship Jesus, to worship the Father because we understand them. But oh, there's such a friend in the Holy Spirit. There's such a reality of his presence and his life and his comfort and his power that can be a part of our lives when we engage with the Holy Spirit. So just for this next moment, I just ask, would you just bow your heads for a moment? And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you're wondering who this lunatic is at the front shouting and carrying on. Well, friends, I'm just like you. I was somebody who was struggling in life with lots of questions until I encountered the reality of God. I didn't understand God. I didn't know anything about God until I began to open my heart to Him. Until I found it in myself to say, "Will you forgive me for my wrongdoing? I realize I don't understand you. I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. But will you forgive me and will you come into my life?" Because, see, an encounter with God is never about religion. It's always about relationship. Religion relies on my strength, do's and don'ts and performance. Encountering the living God is all about relationship, where He helps me to be and do what I can't be and do, where He comes and He begins to transform my life as my Lord. He fills my life. So maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. We're not talking religion. I'm talking relationship. One that you know, one that you walk in, that you experience. It's tangible. Maybe you have walked with God, but not for a long time. You've drifted, and today the Holy Spirit has been tugging at your heart. So if you're here today, just while every head is bowed, and you're saying, I want this God encounter. I want God in my life. I want to know Him. I want to know what it means to be clean, to start again, to have a fresh start, to have purpose, because He created you for purpose. If that's you, just slip up your hand real quick so I can see it and then put it down. Now I'm going to pray for you, just where you sit. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to pray that you encounter right where you sit the presence of God coming and know what it means to be clean. Know what it means to come into a relationship with a living Savior. So just give me a quick wave and then put your hand down. Yeah, God bless you there. So good. Somebody else this morning, don't delay this. Let God come, speak to you, help you, change you. Anybody else this morning? Just before I pray. All right, come on, family. We're going to pray. We're going to pray with this beautiful lady that is reaching out to Jesus right now. Come on, family. And you pray this prayer. Mean it in your heart. You watch God come and reach you this morning. Come on, family. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I come to you. And I humble myself. I say, I can't do this. I can't do this life by myself. I need you. Will you forgive me? Will you come into my heart? Will you come into my life? Will you wipe me clean? Will you fill my life with your love, with your presence, and with your purpose? I thank you so much that you've heard me. Fill me with your Spirit. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.